18. Selwyn Tong. Rydell had a theory about virtual real estate. The smaller and cheaper the physical site of a given operation, the bigger and cheesier the website. According to this theory, Selwyn F.X. Tong, Notary Public of Kowloon, was probably operating out of a rolled-up newspaper. Rydell couldn't figure out a way to skip the approach segment, which was monolithic, vaguely Egyptian, and reminded him of what his buddy Sublet, a film buff, had called corridor metaphysics. This was one long-ass corridor, and if it had been physical, you could have driven a very large truck down it. There were Baroque sconce lights, virtual scarlet wall-to-wall, and weird tacky texture mapping that tended to gold-flecked marble. Where had Laney found this guy? Eventually, Rydell did manage to kill the music, something vaguely classical and swelling, but it still seemed to take him 3 minutes to get to Selwyn F.X. Tong's doors, which were tall, very tall, and mapped to resemble some generic idea of tropical hardwood. "Teak my ass," said Rydell. "Welcome," said a breathless, hyper-feminine voice, "to the offices of Selwyn F.X. Tong, Notary Public." The doors swung open. Rydell figured that if he hadn't killed the music, it would be peaking about now. Virtually, the notary's office was about the size of an Olympic pool, but scarce on detail. Rydell used the rocker pad on his glasses to scoot his POV right up to the desk, which was about the size of a pool table, and mapped in that same ramped-down wood look. There were a couple of nondescript metallic-looking objects on it, and a few pieces of virtual paper. "What's the FX stand for?" Rydell asked.
"Francis Xavier,"
said Tong, who presented as a sort of deadpan cartoon of a small Chinese man in a white shirt, black tie, black suit. His black hair and the black suit were mapped in the same texture, a weird effect, and one Rydell took to be unintentional.
"I thought you might be in video," Rydell said. "Like it's a nickname? FX Effects, right?"
"I am Catholic," Tong said, his tone neutral.
"No offense," Rydell said.
"None taken,"
said Tong, his plastic-looking face as shiny as his plastic-looking eyes. He always forgot, Rydell reflected, just how bad this stuff could look if it hadn't been handled right.
"What can I do for you, Mr. Rydell?"
"Laney didn't tell you?"
"Laney?"
"Colin," Rydell said. "Space Laney."
"And?"
6, Rydell said. 042.
Tong's plastic-looking eyes narrowed.
"Barry."
Tong pursed his lips. Behind him, through a broad window at a different rate of resolution, Rydell could see the skyline of Hong Kong.
"Barry,"
Rydell repeated.
"Thank you, Mr. Rydell," the notary said. "My client has authorized me to give you this 7-digit identification number."
A gold fountain pen appeared in Tong's right hand, like a continuity error in a student film. It was a very large pen, elaborately mapped with swirling dragons, their scales in higher resolution than anything else in the site. Probably a gift, Rydell decided. Tong wrote the 7 digits on one of the sheets of virtual paper, then reversed it on the desktop so that Rydell could read it. The pen had vanished as unnaturally as it had appeared.
"Please don't repeat this number aloud," Tong said.
"Why not?"
"Issues of encryption,"
Tong said obscurely.
"You have as long as you like to memorize the number."
Rydell looked at the 7 digits and began to work out a mnemonic. He finally arrived at one based on his birthday, the number of states when he was born, his father's age when he died, and a mental image of 2 cans of 7-Up. When he was certain that he'd be able to recall the number, he looked up at Tong.
"Where do I go to get the credit chip?"
"Any automated teller. You have photo identification?"
"Yes,"
Rydell said.
"Then we are finished."
"One thing," Rydell said.
"What is that?"
"Tell me how I get out of here without having to go back down that corridor of yours. I just want a straight exit, right?" Tong regarded him blandly. Click on my face.
Rydell did, using the rocker pad to summon a cursor shaped like a neon green cartoon hand, pointing. Thanks, he said, as Tong's office folded. He was in the corridor, facing back the way he had come.
Damn, Rydell said.
The music began. He worked the rocker pad, trying to remember how he'd killed it before. He wanted to get a GPS fix on the nearest ATM, though, so he didn't unplug the glasses. He clicked for the end of the corridor. The click seemed to trigger a metastatic surge of bit rot, every bland texture map rewritten in some weirder hand. The red carpet went gray-green, its nap grown strange and unevenly furry, like something at the bottom of a month-old cup of coffee, while the walls went from whorehouse marble to a moist fish-belly pallor, the sconce lights glowing dim as drowned corpse candles. Tong's fake classical theme cracked and hollowed, weird bass notes rumbling in just above the threshold of the subsonic. It all took about a second to happen, and it took Rydell maybe another second to get the idea that someone wanted his undivided attention.
Rydell!
It was one of those voices that they fake up from found audio, speech cobbled from wind down skyscraper canyons, the creaking of Great Lakes ice, tree frogs clanging in the southern night. Rydell had heard them before. They grated on the nerves, as they were meant to, and conveniently disguised the voice of the speaker, assuming the speaker had a voice in the first place.
Hey, Rydell said, I was just trying to click out.
A virtual screen appeared in front of him. A round-cornered rectangle whose dimensions were meant to invoke the cultural paradigm of 20th-century video screens. On it, an oddly angled, monochromatic view of some vast, shadowy space, dimly lit from above. Nothing there. Impression of decay. Great age.
I have important information for you.
The vowel in you suggested a siren dopplering past, then gone.
Well, said Rydell, if your middle name is FX, you're sure going to some trouble.
There was a pause, Rydell staring at the dead blank space depicted or recorded on the screen. He was waiting for something to move there. Probably that was the point of it, that nothing did.
You'd better take this information very seriously, Mr. Rydell.
I'm serious as cancer, Rydell said. Shoot!
Use the ATM at the Lucky Dragon near the entrance to the bridge. Then present your identification at the Globe X franchise at the rear of the store.
Why?
They're holding something for you.
Tong, Rydell said, is that you?
But there was no answer. The screen vanished, and the corridor was as it had been. Rydell reached up and disconnected the rented cable from the Brazilian glasses. Blinked. A coffee place near Union Square, the kind that had potted plants and hot desks, an early office crowd was starting to line up for sandwiches. He got up, folded the glasses, tucked them into the inside pocket of his jacket, and picked up his bag.